If you want to change your life, consider being more grateful. Why is gratitude important? Does gratitude change us? Even modern science shows that gratitude adds to the quality of our lives. For example, here's a headline of an article that we're going to link to. Neuroscience reveals gratitude literally rewires your brain to be happier. Interesting. Joni DeBrito is a licensed mental health professional and frequent Focus on the Family contributor, and she joins us now to talk about how gratitude can change our lives. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point. And Joni, it's good to have you on the program. Thank you for joining us.
You're welcome. Thanks so much for having me on your show.
No, I appreciate it. Okay, so tell us about gratitude. I mean, it almost seems Pollyannic or something, or Pollyannish, but I guess it really does make a difference, doesn't it?
It really does. Gratitude is something that, as science has shown, rewires your brain and allows you to actually feel better. We find that as people express gratitude, there is dopamine, that chemical, that feel-good chemical that releases in your brain to make you want to do more of whatever you're doing before you do something that makes you feel good from the dopamine. So we know that it can be negative. It can be that, for instance, people are gambling and they get a little bit of a good feeling from gambling and they have a release of dopamine, and that's kind of what keeps them in that addictive cycle. But the opposite is true, that there can be good things that happen with that dopamine release. So as people express gratitude, there's more dopamine release, and so it makes them want to continue to express gratitude. It's kind of like the gift that keeps on giving. And then as they express gratitude, especially to other people, it's more likely that people are going to express gratitude back toward them as well.
Have you ever heard of that book called A Simple Act of Gratitude? It's written by an attorney from Los Angeles, John Kralik. And I had never heard of it until a month or two ago. It had become a bestseller in 2010. And the gist of it is, writing thank you notes ended up changing this man's life. He went through a very difficult period, and it just turned things around. And in about a year and a half or so, he wrote 700 thank you notes, sincere little thank you notes, but it changed him. And I just wondered if you have heard of it. It was a good read, good book.
I haven't heard of the book, but I definitely agree with that. I know I've worked with many people struggling with depression and anxiety and so forth, and we obviously work through those feelings and give them permission to feel bad, feel sad, get out those feelings and vent them and cope with them. But I've learned over the years that as they get sort of past that stage of having to grieve and so forth, then if I talk with them about, let's think about, you know, incorporating the things that you're grateful for, you really see people begin to make more progress and start to turn around and get past that depression. Now, that's not true for all depression. Some depression is very biologically based, and so it requires, you know, medication and that sort of thing. But I've seen people who have more of a situational depression get in that really deep pit and be able to talk about how bad they're feeling, but somewhere in there, if they are then encouraged to start looking at what they're grateful for, you see them start to make more progress for sure.
It sounds so simple, but I guess it's actually quite profound. Would you say that in effect, what being grateful boils down to is focusing on what you do have as opposed to that which you do not have? Even if you strive to improve your lot, that's fine too, but in the meantime, be grateful for what you do have.
For sure. And we have to be grateful not just in the times when it's easy to be grateful, but also in the times when it's hard, when there are actually difficult things happening. You know, if you listen to people when they are interviewed after some sort of a catastrophic event, like a tornado that's ripped through a town and torn houses apart and so forth, and lives have been lost, so often you will hear people very honestly grieving, crying, talking about what they've lost, but then very often often you'll also hear them end with, but I'm so grateful that my family is still alive, or I'm grateful that I didn't lose any friends, or I'm grateful that I have resources where I can relocate, etc. So you hear that a lot, and actually as someone who did a lot of disaster response for many years in my professional life, I can tell you that's where I saw people turning the corner from their grief and their struggle and the difficulty that they were having, was when they started to hold that loss in one hand and recognize, yeah, I've lost a lot, and be honest about that, but also begin to think about what they had to be grateful for.
It's interesting that we as Americans have an annual holiday based on Thanksgiving, you know, a time to set aside the time to thank God. I don't imagine a large percentage of the population necessarily spends Thanksgiving as a day of time of giving thanks to God, but it's good for us to do that, right?
Absolutely. Yes, it certainly is. And, you know, for those who are Bible-believing Christians in the Bible, we're called to thank God as well, to thank God in times of pleasure and in times of suffering as well.
Are there any lessons that we could learn, speaking of the Bible, from, let's say, the Israelites when they were wandering around in the wilderness after the Exodus, but before they came to the Promised Land? There's lots of examples where basically their lives were being characterized by grumbling and complaining as opposed to giving thanks to God for his miraculous deliverance, you know, from one episode after another.
Yeah, I think there are. I think it's that whole idea about being able to find the things that you're grateful for in the midst of things that you may legitimately have reasons to grumble. That is really almost the magic piece there, is that, yes, something is going on that's difficult and so forth, and yet, as you said, there are still things where you can look around and say, and yet we also have these things to be thankful for. And I think that's really what's important, that you're able to do that even in the midst of the most difficult days. You're able to say, and yet I still have much to be grateful for.
Okay, suppose somebody said to you, okay, Joni, I can agree with what you're saying. It would be better if I were more grateful, all things being equal. How do I become more of a grateful person?
Well, one of the things that you can do is incorporate it into your daily life. So if you have a morning routine, and whatever that might be, where you get up, you brush your teeth, you know, wash your face, comb your hair, put on makeup, don't put on makeup, you know, shave your beard, whatever it is you do in the morning, if you can start incorporating that into your morning routine, when you look in the mirror and you stop and just give pause for a few seconds and think, what am I grateful for today? And then really just pay a little attention to that, think about that, et cetera. But also, one thing that's really good is to think about someone in your life that you appreciate and what you appreciate about that person, and take the time to express that appreciation, just like the book that you were talking about, writing thank you letters. That person had to, the author had to appreciate something in order to write the thank you letters in the first place. So you can do that in your life, where you say, you know, I've noticed that my boss is really kind to all the people who work for him. I'm going to thank him today for being kind, or whatever it happens to be. It might be a family member, et cetera. And you find that it tends to help you feel better. The second thing I would say is that very often people who are kind of grumblers and don't tend to feel grateful a lot of the time, they are people who have a lot of anxiety. And all of us struggle with anxiety from time to time. And what are the words that go around in our heads? What if? What if this happens? And it's always the most catastrophic thing, not something good, but something bad. So for folks like that, one thing they can do is write that down in a card. What if I lose my job and I never ever get a job again? That's pretty catastrophic thinking, and it's very unlikely that's going to happen. Only about 15% of the things that we worry about on a daily basis actually happen. So 85% don't happen, according to research. And so then if you can take that card and turn it over and say, what if, and write the opposite, what if I lose my job and get the best job I've ever dreamed of, and you start thinking about that instead of the negative, then it can help you start getting into that habit of looking around and trying to consider the world in the best possible light instead of the worst.
Excellent. What about writing things down in terms of just like keeping a journal of answered prayers or that kind of thing, so that in case we, you know, feel blue or something, we could just look at this and, I forgot about that. God did this for me. Yeah, I forgot about that. God did that for me.
I think that's a great idea, Jerry. I think that's something that a lot of people enjoy doing. A lot of people really enjoy journaling, and so that's something to add to the journal.
Okay, Paul, the apostle, said 2,000 years ago, he said that we should give thanks in all circumstances. And somebody might say, oh, well, that's easy for you to say, Paul. You know, what do you know? You're an apostle. You're a saint. You know, all those good things. But if you read, for example, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he goes through this litany of some sufferings that he endured for the sake of the gospel. He was shipwrecked. He was flogged. You know, he was stoned, left for dead, all these kinds of things. And yet he still said, give thanks in all circumstances, in all circumstances.
Absolutely. You know, all of us are going to suffer in life. Nobody gets out of suffering. And so we have to recognize that whether things are going well or it's the worst year of our lives or day of our lives or whatever, there too will come things to be grateful for in those moments. If nothing else, your gratitude comes from thinking, I'm glad that I'm not having a day like that day. Right? So that it kind of creates a new perspective. So even in the worst of circumstances, we can find some good things to come from them. But again, I want to emphasize that it's really important for people to take the time to feel the genuine sadness, disappointment, hurt, whatever, first, so that they can get those feelings out of them to get to the point where they're then able to look back and feel gratitude.
How can we teach little ones, our children, grandchildren, to be more grateful? And I, you know, you think of the example of, the anticipation before opening the Christmas gifts. Oh, it's fantastic. And then, sometimes there's let down. Sometimes there's complaining. Sometimes, I should have gotten the gift. No, you know, not you, blah, blah, blah. You know, and instead of being gratitude, we find what should be a joyful occasion turned into one of friction.
Well, first of all, we are the models. So we have to model that. We have to model if, for instance, we've hoped to get something and it didn't come, instead of, you know, stewing in front of everyone and complaining, say, you know, that's disappointing, and yet I'm going to accept that or show that acceptance. You know, I had an experience like that with my grandchildren just yesterday, that we were going to an event that was going to be so cool, and we were really excited about it. And for a number of different reasons, there were some technical glitches and so forth, it didn't happen. So I could tell that my grandchildren were disappointed. They didn't say anything. I said, so how are you doing? I said, you know, this is kind of disappointing, isn't it? And they said, yes. And I said, let's think about other things that could have been worse. And we actually had a lot of fun thinking up all these goofy things that could, you know, on a child's age, a herd of dinosaurs could have come stomping through our neighborhood and stomped down our house or whatever. Some of those fantasy things that obviously wouldn't happen. And then very slowly they kind of moved to some of the real things. We could have had a fire or something like that. And so to really help them develop that perspective that, yes, there are things that come along that are disappointing, but we really need to help them recognize what are the things that are really legitimate to grieve. And certainly that's not one of them if you don't get the present that you were hoping for. And we actually, in our family, we talk a lot about that when we are opening presents, that we express a lot of thanks. And, you know, there will sometimes be a grumbler, usually a younger child, someone who's not quite learned this concept yet. And so you say, yeah, you just acknowledge that that's kind of disappointing. And let's look at all of the other things that you got, and let's help them to develop some gratitude for those things.
Excellent. Excellent points. Thank you so much, Joni DeBrito. I appreciate that. And let me refer your people to the website, which is the Focus on the Family, FOTF.org. And I'm sure they can, you know, get more material on gratitude and how important it is. Thank you so much for being with us. All the best.
You're welcome. Thanks so much for having me.